Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Yes, indeed, Mr. Sibanda, how are you doing?
I'm well, and how are you doing as well?
Very well, thank you so much for joining us. It's such an honor to speak to you once again. We're talking to you about the importance of socializing for learners' development. And of course, education and the exchange of knowledge via diverse classroom activities have profound impact on molding positive personalities. Now, we're trying to discuss some major reasons why socializing is important for the student growth. Now, what is socialization and what is its important in the development of the learner?
Okay, thank you for inviting me once more, and I'd like to greet all my the listeners and at home in different places. Socialization, it is a process of which children learn and internalize social norms, values, behaviors, enabling them to function effectively within their culture and society. Yeah. So most importance of it is that it develops emotional intelligence, empathy, shapes self-concept and identity, enhances communication, interpersonal skills, a quite number of things. Prepares children also for future relationships and societal roles, you know. So it's very, very broad, yeah, and it's one of the key factors actually in the growth of our children today.
Beautiful, and quite important. I agree with you on that. Now, how does the role of the family differ from the role of the school in the socialization process?
Yeah, very tricky one. the family role, or the role of the family actually, is the primary one. Socialization. It is a primary socialization agent.
All right.
Before the child goes out there, it should have something, and that thing should come from home. Actually, from Christian perspective, we believe that home is the first school. These other schools are second.
Yeah.
Though we have a preschool, but the preschool should be our homes, where the child should learn basic values, norms, morals. It should provide emotional support and security. But the challenge now is that I'm being off topic a little bit.
All right, that's fine.
We have lost that track, and that's why our society is in trouble, because we have lost that time for socialization, where we sit down and our children instill values to them. After work, I'm busy with my soccer there, my wife is watching soaps, and the child is on TikTok. And is getting some, she's learning there via TikTok. I'm also offline. I'm physically there, but I'm emotionally and socially absent. You know what I mean? And then the school, it should be a supplement for family socialization. When the child goes to school already, he has the values from home. He knows what he wants, and he's going there. He's selective based on what he has learned from home. But the school also will play a role to encourage independence and self-reliance and all those things, and fostering peer relationships and social skills and all those things, you know.
You're talking about peer relationships, and I think it's quite important. Do peer relationships, alter how the child was socialized at home?
Of all the three institutions, home and school, the peers, they play a major role. Actually, I think if 80 or 90% of what the child learns is from the peers, then the two, because the peers, they relate easily.
Yeah.
Hence, one of my favorite writer, Ellen G. White, she says, "You as a parent must be very careful who your child hangs around with, because peers are very powerful in terms of influence." And teaching other learners. I don't know how they do it, because it's just natural. It's in them. You raise your child from age 0 to 11, 12. Then from the age of 12, the child decides not to trust you. All of a sudden, start trusting peers more than parents, pastors, teachers. You might find a child going through painful trauma that is only known by the peers, not known by even professionals. They will get it hard to crack to a child But the peers, they just know, they just open up easy to them. So they play a major role in this socialization. And hence, then, my favorite writer, Ellen White, will say, it's very important to know who your child hangs with, because if your child hangs with someone who doesn't have a vision or direction, then you are in trouble. So it's very important to see and to know. And then you know that your child will definitely, if he's hanging around with peers who are positive, who also have a similar values, we'll call it a bonus.
Now, still on the issue of the peer groups, do share with us how these peer groups contribute to the social identity, because at the end of the day, children would have to assume a social identity at some point. How do they contribute, these peer groups, in that?
As I say that, I really don't know how these kids do it, but one thing for sure that I know is that normally when I preach to the teenagers, I always say, look, people, you feel like it is a crime not to look like others or to be different to your friends or to your peers. Somewhere, somehow, as kids grow, they just want to belong and to do like others. Everyone is doing it. They want to do the same. They don't want to be different. I don't know if it's the spirit is that is there or it's just a stage. So there is that kind of thing whereby they want to do like theirs. And you find that I have, as someone who has worked with kids for a quite number of years in this situation, I realize that there are some kids who end up opting to be, maybe let's say, a homosexual person while inside knowing that he's not, but just to please their friends. And others end up drinking just to please their friends and so forth. So the biggest challenge is that our young people, they feel like it is a crime to be different. And actually, some you've seen some in different social medias committing suicide because they're not being accepted in certain groups and they want to be there. So they'll do everything to be accepted with their peers. Hence now they will now they will hold the keys, the peers will now hold the keys of manipulating the identity of the child. Say, okay, if you want to belong here, this is how we live here. Here we laugh, even if you're not happy, inclined to laugh. Here we smoke. Here we do this, we do that. So at the end of the day, if you a child doesn't find someone who will be closer to the child and say, no, man, look, you won't die for not belonging in that group. You won't die to be different. Then the child will definitely succumb, and then her identity or his identity is now shaped by the peers. But praise God, if the peers are positive, they are academic, they are spiritual, then you know that they will instill, because we may not also focus on negative. Not all children are negative. Some they definitely have positive values and norms and so forth.
Is there a way that parents could maybe, I identify or to be able to see that there is a change in how the child has been doing? I mean, this child has been growing like this up until they were 11 or so, and now that they're getting to be a teenager, there seems to be a change. And what kind of intervention, if there is a way to pick it up? Is there a way to pick it up? Number one. Number two, are there possible interventions to be made?
Definitely, there's a way of picking up, my brother. I'm not sure about your status, but let's say if you are married, or even if you're not married, in a relationship, and you've been with your partner for a long time, you can tell now that you know what, here we are disconnecting, something's wrong here. Maybe I've got a deputy person who's now taking over because the connection is not there anymore, you see. So if you are really connected with your child and you've been going out to a mall, eating together, going to church, doing things together, you can really see that, no, man, there's something wrong with my child, because I also have a teenage child, of which she's in a stage also where she's trying to find herself. As we are talking right now, I'm saying this not from the book, but out of experience. So when my child started grade 8, I will start seeing her now changing the way she relate to us. She wish she want to change the way she does things, the sleeping routine, and all those things. And then when we just zoom this thing, we realize that now there are friends who have been now creeping in, the intruders who have been creeping in to try and divert her values and the way things. But thank God we managed to pick that early, and we have to change the setup. Because another thing that some parents feel like it's like it's not maybe proper, especially the community that we grow in. That when you buy your child a phone or a tablet, you buy a phone and tell the child, look, this phone, it's my phone. I bought it, but I'm lending to you. So the password should be complicated, or either I'll create password for you. I'll take this phone anytime I want to take it, and I don't want to have to debate about this. And because most of the things are hidden on those phones and so forth. Our kids sleep
Sure.
at 1 o'clock in the morning, talking to strangers, posting some proper pictures on chat room and all those things. So there are many ways of seeing that your child is definitely losing it, apart from being connected to a child also by checking the diary and so forth. I know the community that you are living in, all those things, it's like you are invading the privacy of a child. But from where I am, the child will definitely have a privacy when she is in a ability of having her own room or house or maybe she goes to university and so forth. But as long as I open the room for her in the bedroom and pay the fees, I think I should know what is happening in my child's space,
True, true, true. I think that's quite important, because I think if we fail as parents, as a caregivers, as guardians, to be able to pick these things up at the earliest, it may be a little too late to actually arrest the situation when they are now they've now developed a habit into some of these things, and it now takes quite a long time to rebuild, because what you've built over the years can literally take a moment to destroy, and then to rebuild that could actually take forever. What would then be your advice as we closing off our conversation in terms of socializing our children? Between learners and parents and teachers as well.
Yeah, I forgot the title of the book that I read that is helping me so much in my department. That book says there are a few lines that I read there that I've been putting them also in practice. That of lately, or actually, especially as African parents in raising our children, we believe in disciplining them in different forms. But that book says, when you discipline your child, the best of disciplining a child or shaping your child, whether you're a teacher or a parent, is to be connected to the child. So the reason why the peers are able to manipulate these kids is because they are connected. They give them time, they give them ears, they give them everything they need and so forth. But now I would advise the parents that let's give our kids time. I know it's hectic. Inflation is hitting us left, right, and center. Want to raise fees for them in bond and all those things. But let's try our best to create time with our children, sitting with them down in the evening, have at least an hour or so every evening, and let them unlearn all the evil things that they might be learning throughout the day. And then if that is done almost every day, you'll be able definitely to get the feedback of what they are happening. Because we are sitting with families where they are physically together, they are emotionally disconnected, they are spiritually disconnected, and they don't know what's happening there. So the best way is let parents bond with their children. Let teachers also bond with their children. Under normal circumstances, last line, it is very much difficult for a child to disappoint a person whom he loves so much, whom he is connected so much.
True, true.
Now,
tell me, I'm going to let you go now in a minute, and I've said this before. One last time.
Okay, all right.
One last time. If a parent comes from a family where socialization is rather strange, but the parents here, I mean, we've seen many of these families, they've got a tavern, or maybe they're not even running a tavern, but the next door is a tavern, and the father or the mother, they come home, they are drunk, and there are swear words that are flying around the house, and everybody sees it as normal, and this child comes to a school environment from that socialization. Is there a way that educators can pick this up and try and deal with it, or is it a lost cause?
Definitely, but it will take an educator who has a calling in that field of education, because not everyone is called to be an educator. Some of us are doing just for money. But otherwise, so the educators can definitely go out of their way and see that no, this child needs more than math, science, and biology. This child just needs someone to listen to and help. And even our kids who grew up from both families who are intact and who do whatever socialization, with the generation that we are in now, they've lost ways of, especially the secular music is playing a major role in the movies that they listen to. There are a lot of F words, sorry to use this on radio, but they listen to the music that has got so much of that word to a point whereby it's now normal just to say it even to an adult or any time, even in classroom and so forth. So that's why I grew up. And then as a teacher, once you pick that, instead of reprimanding the child, just take the background and see how best you can align the mindset of that child to a normal position, you know.
Yeah, must be a very tough one there, especially from the educator's perspective, and also some relatives, maybe people who are close to the family, etc. Because socialization, I think, will be one thing that the child grows up with until they are adults, and perhaps right up until a person dies, not so.
Yes, yes, yes.
Beautiful stuff.
Very difficult.
Yeah. Vusisibanda, thank you so much for joining us. It's always a pleasure to have these conversations with you. Very important conversations that are building to both parents, educators, and also as learners. Thank you so much once again.
God bless you. Thank you so much as well for inviting.
Blessings. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.